Okay, will you pray with me? Let's pray for a moment that we can receive the word. Amen? Part of my prayer is that this place would become like a divine hyperbaric chamber. That this room would be so filled with the potency of the truth that it would press its way into every cell in our body to bring forth the healing and renewing life of the power of God and the truth of the knowledge of God here. Lord, I do pray, Holy Ghost, that you'd come with such grace, such clarity, such power, that you'd fill our senses, our awareness, with the knowledge of who you are. Open the eyes of our understanding to see you, to know you. Fill us today with the fullness of God. Awaken us to the truth. Spur us on to love you. Spur us on in the grace of God today. Give us eyes that see. Give us ears that hear and hearts that understand. May the word of the Lord find entrance to our hearts and bring light. Bring wisdom, the wisdom of God. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. So I want to talk about an identity upgrade today. An identity upgrade. And this all continues to drill into this context of rest that we're talking about. Here's the deal, friends. You were not designed to just survive this world. You were anointed to shift it. You catch that? You were not designed just to survive this life, just to survive trials. You were anointed by God to shift things. The scriptures say our faith has literally, we have overcome the world because Christ has overcome the world. Oh God, give us understanding today. And this has to do with knowing who our God is, who you are in Christ, what God has done for you in Christ, and us knowing to whom we belong. When we get these things locked into our spirit experientially, when we know it, we own it, we agree with it, we align our life, our thinking, our speech, our behavior with the truth that God has transferred upon us and given to us in His Son, everything changes. I said this before, that what we actually believe about God, what we actually believe about ourselves, literally determines our life and what becomes possible in our life. Even determines what becomes more probable in your life. It's one thing to say things are possible, but not have any imminence, closeness to where we expect greater realities of God's purpose and power and presence in our circumstances. But there's a higher probability to see the kingdom of God in real ways, in your emotions, in your thought life, in your relationships, in your families, in how you do business, and how you show up every day when we are fully persuaded of who God has revealed Himself to be in Christ and what He has said you are now, what I am in Christ, and the assurance that we know that we belong to Him. When we get a hold of this, man, it's good news. It will make you glad. You guys don't look excited enough about this truth, because this will make you shout. This makes your inner man vibrate with hope. Hope that's alive, that gets you out of bed every day. Man, the reality is, the scriptures declare this, and the Spirit of God testifies to us. It's one thing to know out here with our brain, with our rationality, with our intellect that, hey, the Bible says this. It's another thing to taste of it and have the witness of it inside here by the Holy Spirit. That's the only way you could actually know God, is by the Holy Spirit. the Christ in us, the hope of glory, the Spirit of God in us that pours out the love of Jesus in our hearts, that tells us that we're indeed children of God. It's one thing to try to persuade yourself that you're a child of God. It's another thing to be gripped and persuaded by God that you belong to Him. Hey! That's how you come into the rest of faith. When you hear your Father say to your spirit, "You're mine. I chose you. I love you. I purchased you with my own blood. I'm in you. You're in me." Friends, this is part of the mystery that has been revealed. Christ inside of you, the hope of glory. Oh, it's better than we know. It's better than we know. The scriptures say that we have been delivered from this present evil age. The scriptures say that we have been transferred out of the domain, the dominion of darkness, and brought into the kingdom of the Son He loves. Who you are and what He has done is amazing. It is a supernatural reality that must be understood by the Spirit. And I pray today that we have ears to hear it by the Spirit. We need to know it. The scriptures say that we are even above the systems of this world. The scriptures say that all things are ours in Him. Do you believe this today? Oh, I pray that we believe it more and more until it makes you giddy, that makes you confident. All things are ours. And the scriptures say that we can't be weighed down, or must be careful to not be weighed down, to not be deceived and be weighed down and distracted by the cares of this life. This is a big deal. The cares of this life, literally, one of the translations of the word is distractions of this life. And this life is full of entanglements. It's full of distractions that are designed to rob you and eclipse the knowledge of God, so that your experience of abundant life or your ability to be fruitful is utterly limited. Distractions and the cares of this life will choke out the seed of the kingdom of God to where you feel frustrated in your very existence, where you feel like you can't receive or lay hold of the love of God, nor can you be fruitful and useful in the hands of God because you're so bound to the earth, so bound to the cares of this life. And the scripture says, don't be weighed down by these things. Don't be entrapped by these things. Don't become dull and bewitched by these things and forget who your God is. Don't forget who God made you to be. See who He is. See who you are. See the kingdom. It's like Mufasa said to Simba, remember who you are. Come on, look at your friend and say, remember who you are. Go ahead. Look at each other real quick. Say it three times in a funny accent. Go ahead. See if you can get that African accent. Remember who you are. It's the truth, though. Do you know that that's actually one way that we continue to grow in Christ? Is by reminding each other who we are, speaking the truth to each other in love. Speaking words that are empowering us and washing us with the remembrance of, no, that you keep thinking about yourself according to the old man, and you need to think of yourself according to the new man and what God created in Christ. This is who you really are. Stop thinking like this. You're thinking as if though you're below and beneath when you need to think that you are above. Hallelujah. Amen. Come on, shout it back. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah. This is how we do it. It's the truth. It is the truth. When we were born again, if in fact you were born again, that literally means you are born from above. Salvation is greater than we know. Salvation in Jesus Christ is greater than we know. And I pray that by the Spirit today, we get a little bit more of a glimpse of how great it is, how great a salvation that you possess now, right now, if the seed of God is in you. We have been redeemed and born again by the incorruptible, imperishable seed of God, the Word of God, the blood of Jesus. And if he has made his home in your heart by your submission and faith in him, the Bible says you've been regenerated, you've been washed, you've been plucked out of darkness and brought into a whole nother reality. You're born from above. Born again, made to be a child of God. No man can will that. No person can want it bad enough as to earn it. There is no merit, there is no striving, there is no performance that can earn you right standing with God. No amount of discipline, no amount of fasting, no amount of giving to the poor or showing up at church is going to do it for you. It is an act of God that God himself did as you've trusted in the one that he him alone sent. Come on, when you are born again, something supernatural happens. And then you are also made a citizen of heaven. Come on, just say, I'm a citizen of heaven. Tell your frontal lobe in your brain, I'm a citizen of heaven. And we need to live as such. If you're in the Spirit, learn to walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit by thinking according to the Spirit. You are a citizen of heaven if Christ lives in you. Amazing. That's why the scripture says, so don't be just entangled in the earth. Don't be entangled in civilian affairs of this life. Live in such a way as to please the one that purchased you. Amen? I just want to read a few scriptures with you. I have a battery of a few scriptures. Can we just let the word of God speak to you? It's because what I'm saying is true. This is not hype. This is not rhetoric. This is real. And the more we trust in the word and let the word live in us, the more you are fed, strengthened, and allow the dominion of Christ to reign in us. And when we let him reign in us by his word, we are transformed. And we can do what we are called to do. Bearing the fruits of righteousness and being fruitful in our knowledge of God. Amen? Let's look here. 2 Corinthians 5:17. We'll go through these semi-quick. If my visuals can pop these up with me. I'm just going to start in 2 Corinthians. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. Past tense. It has come. It is present. It is now. The old is gone. The new is here. Are you with me? This is good. Galatians chapter 1, 3 through 5 says, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver or rescue us or pluck us out from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. In John 3:31, they're talking about Jesus, but remember, Jesus was a prototype and forerunner that modeled something for us. The only begotten Son of God became the first begotten Son of God in order to bring many other sons of God to glory. Amen. That's real good news. I pray that you get it. Say Jesus was the only begotten Son of God, but he became the first begotten in order to bring many other begotten children of God to glory. That divine seed, that divine prototype of a new humanity, lived as a child of God, living under the submission to God, to live to please and do the will of God out of fellowship and friendship with God, fell to the ground to die, that his life might multiply in many others. So that we as his church, the fullness of him in the earth, might be filled with the fullness of God. Oh. Pew, pew, pew. God, give it to us by the Spirit. But in John 3:31, it says, the one who comes from above is above all. The one who is from the earth belongs to the earth and speaks as one from the earth. The one who comes from heaven is above all. He's talking about Jesus, but he's also talking about you, as we will see. Ephesians chapter 1, starting at verse 18, I'm going to read through 23 and then into chapter 2, verse 6. And this is Apostle Paul's prayer for the church at Ephesus, saying, man, Paul's laying out the gospel and then how the church should then live in light of that gospel. And he's saying, this is my prayer for you because you've got to see this by the Spirit because I want you to know it. And today, church, I'm telling you, I want you to know it. The Spirit of God wants you to know it, wants me to know it in greater realities, that it will establish truth in us, bring us into rest, and cause us to be everything God intended us to be. Paul prays this, I pray that the eyes of your heart would be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparable great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength that he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, who is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. And in the chapter 2, he says, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. Ow! Woo! The one who is from above is above all. Are you from above? Have you been born again? We need an identity upgrade. We need to think of ourselves differently according to truth. The more we can do that, the more we choose to believe that. That is what repentance is about. Changing the way you think and aligning with what he has said and done. Then you will experience the kingdom in greater measures. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Again, Paul, after just hitting the Corinthian church here, starting in verse 18, he says, do not be deceived, or do not deceive yourselves, rather. Do you know you can deceive yourself? You can deceive yourself. And life is about learning to abide in the truth, to believe truth, to practice truth, to walk in truth, and not be given to deception in whatever form it comes. But you can certainly deceive yourself and drift from the truth, forgetting who our God is, forgetting who you are and what he has done for you. So do not deceive yourselves. If any of you think that you're wise by the standards of this age, you should become fools so that you could actually become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight. As it is written, he catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows that the thoughts of the wise are futile. So then, no more boasting about human leaders. All before this, he was saying, stop saying I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas. Stop it. He was like, these guys are just servants. They weren't crucified for you. Christ is all. And he goes on to say this, all things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or the present or the future, all are yours. And you are of Christ and Christ is of God. Is that amazing? It's amazing. And here's the deal. There's only two ways in life. There's the old way and there's the new way. There's the way of the law and our own strength, or there's the way of grace that's by His Spirit. There's God's way or there's the way of the world. It's simple. At the end of the day, there is the way of the spirit of the age, the philosophies, the ideas, the traditions of man according to the elementary principles and forces of this life. And then there's the way of Christ that is superior and greater, far above all, where He's placed you and I. And we have to choose every day what manner of life and how we shall walk in it. And inasmuch as we walk in the ways of Christ, in the life of Christ, is inasmuch as we actually experience the way of rest. Inasmuch as we actually experience the way of peace, the way of the kingdom, we get to experience His promises and His power inasmuch as we believe His way and walk in His way. Amen? This is good. This is truth. And the Scriptures say, and many other people have used voices to say, you know, the holier we are, the happier we are. In other words, the more we are conformed to His likeness in nature, it changes everything. The more we are surrendered to God and His ways and obedient to the faith, the more we actually live in and experience God's fullness. The more we're conformed to His likeness and allow His transformative grace to work in us, the more we actually walk in and experience the victory of God. The more we can actually perceive and participate in the works of the kingdom to set captives free, to bless the earth, to love people around us well, to make disciples and fulfill the mission. But it's hinged upon what we believe about ourselves and about our God. This is important. You know, mental slavery becomes the self-imposed limitation that denies you access to the freedoms that belong to you right now. I'm going to say that to you one more time, because we need to hear it. And if you're dozing because you're tired, stand up, sit back down, take a deep breath. Mental slavery becomes self-imposed limitations that deny you access to the freedoms that actually belong to you right now. Yes, eagles acting like chickens. I got to hang out with the prince of Buganda in Africa, and he said this in his heart for his people, that he desired to see his people set free from mental slavery because it limited their ability to flourish when it was in their grasp and means to do so. What goes on between your ears determines your life. Let me tell you something. Like I said, it all goes back to what you really believe about God and what you believe about you. Everything. We all live from the inside out. Your beliefs determine your attitudes, your imaginations, your thinkings, your behavior. Everything starts here, what you really believe. You know, knowledge is potential power. And when you just don't know stuff or don't believe stuff, or it causes you not to act. You know, knowledge is not power in itself. It's potential power. Because once you know something, you got to learn to act on it. You got to learn to do something with it. If you don't actually believe that truth or that body of knowledge, what's been revealed to us and given to us in Christ, and then begin to walk in it, we don't experience His power. It takes faith and obedience to activate the grace that's ours right now. This is important. I was in a business meeting yesterday with some folks, with the Silvers and some Congolese, and there were some people talking about, you know, tax code. And it's like being a business owner that doesn't understand tax codes. I think there was, 70,000 pages of tax codes for business owners to be able to save massive money. So it's like people have the ability to put money back in their pocket and generate wealth when they understand what's been given to them by decree and by law. But if you don't know that it's available to you, can you access its benefits? It's yours already. But if you don't know it, don't believe it, and act on it, you don't receive the benefit. You don't get to keep the money that was there for you to keep. It's the same thing in the kingdom of God with everything He's given us in Christ. People perish for a lack of knowledge. The Scriptures say, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. So the things that I'm telling you about who you are in Christ and how amazing our God is and what he's given us, it, friends, when we start believing this stuff, it changes your life and what you access and how you live, how you love. See, enlightenment, this is another writer downer for you. Enlightenment is critical to accessing the wealth that belongs to you. That's why we need the spirit of revelation, the spirit of wisdom to understand what God gave us in his son. Come on, even right now, just take 30 seconds and say, God, give me the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you. Open the eyes of my heart to see what you've given me in your son. Come on, just pray that for a moment. God, give me wisdom and revelation. I need to see and understand in a way that is transformative, that enlivens me, that quickens me, that changes me. I don't want knowledge void of power. I want the living truth that sets me free. Holy Ghost, release revelation today by your spirit. Break blinders, distractions, the thorns that choke the seed of the kingdom, that cause it to be unfruitful in our hearts and minds and lives. Holy Ghost, pour out your spirit even today and in this season. Oh, draw us into conversation. Draw us into dialogue and into inquiry, God, into the place of hunger and exchange, Lord, where you pour out your spirit on us and make known your thoughts to us. Pour out the spirit of wisdom and revelation that we might know you more, that we might grow in respects to salvation. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You know, Jesus came. You know, when we think about even the season where the Son of God, God himself, the Word made flesh, broke into humanity, and what he did in this season that we celebrate called Christmas. Man, we got to understand what is happening here. Like, Jesus came to reveal a pattern for us to walk in. Jesus was a divine seed that always was intended to multiply, a prototype of a new humanity, of the children of God. Christ came, and listen, though he was still God, he still had to grow and mature. Do you know that? Think about that. Jesus had to grow and mature. You guys ever think about that? In his humanity? This phrase was in my spirit coming out of a dream this morning, and I'm like, what? I didn't necessarily see it as relevant to what I was going to preach today, but this phrase was in my spirit. Mary carried Jesus full term. Think about God who became a man, took up residence in the womb of Mary. In his humility, God himself, God who created all things, invisible and visible, thrones, dominions, anything that has ever been made was made by him, through him, and for him. And yet he humbles himself to come in the likeness of man. And he's carried full term. Jesus, as a baby fetus, had to grow and mature and develop and come to full term. The Bible says about Jesus as a boy that he grew in wisdom and stature. Think about this. There's a developmental process. So when we think about our life and growing into the knowledge and into the fullness of the identity that we possess already now, it's in the same way that we grow in respects to salvation. By drinking from and longing for the pure milk of the Word, for the truth that actually renews our minds. And so what I'm telling you today, we have to lean into this stuff. This has to be your meditation. Your delight, your orientation of soul, what recalibrates you, it's like a divine chiropractic and alignment so that we can live in the truth, walk in the truth. Muy importante. Ephesians chapter 4, 22 through 24 says, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. You were taught to be made new in the attitude of your minds and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Oh! And in Colossians chapter 3, verses 10 through 11 says, And having put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge, in the image of its creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and in all. You have a new identity. We need to upgrade our alignment, our thinking with what God has transferred upon us in his son. You know, the scriptures say, as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. As you think in your heart, truly, about yourself, so your life shall be. The world will even relate to you based on how you see yourself. You know that? Often you will draw things and things will happen in your life based on the expectation and belief system you orient yourself out of. I'm just going to let that sink in because that's some heavy stuff. And it's a reality that makes us say, man, what do I really believe about me? How do I think about myself? And man, we need to think of ourselves in the nobility that God has placed upon us as sons and daughters of God. Amen. Amazing, made in his likeness, clothed with dignity, called into being sharers of his very glory. And again, it starts from the moment the seed of God came into you. The mystery of salvation, of being born again. You know, in John 3, Nicodemus comes at night saying, man, surely you're from God. We've been teaching all about God, all the things about God, but we don't see the power of God, the reality of God in our midst. Like you, Jesus, you're doing signs, wonders, and miracles. And Jesus says to him, unless you are born again, you can't even see the kingdom. Unless you've been made new, you can't even perceive it. And this is another amazing thing. The scripture, who exalts John the Baptist, who was the Elijah of that day, a forerunner for Christ, spoken of by the prophet Isaiah hundreds and hundreds of years ago. Jesus said, man, this man John, no one born of women were greater than this man. Nobody. This guy, maybe theologians say that he might have had 6 months of public ministry. And droves and droves and droves of people went out into the wilderness to see him, to hear his preaching. There was such an anointing, a glory on his life of a man consecrated, set apart, knowing his identity that he was the voice preparing the way. He was not the light, but he bore witness to the light. And he made the way for people to prepare them for the Lord. And then when Jesus came on the scene, he would decrease so that the Lord could increase. But what's amazing is Jesus said, there's no one greater than this man born of women. But then he says this most incredible statement that sometimes we just breeze over. And I want our souls to latch on to things like this when he says this. Are you ready? Are you ready? Come on, lean in real quick. Lean in. The least in the kingdom of God is greater than John. No, you didn't get it. The least in the kingdom of God, the least in this new dispensation, the least in this new era inaugurated by Jesus Christ, the fact that he died, buried, resurrected, ascended, now sent his spirit to live in us, now that we possess God himself on the inside of us, we're a temple, a living temple, where God dwells by his spirit. Oh my God. Made in his likeness. As he is. Right now we are on the earth. What? That from the moment I was born again. From the moment that seed. That incorruptible seed came into my life. Into your life. No matter where you were in life, no matter how much of a hot mess or how good you thought you were, when that seed came in, something supernatural, transformational happened. Greater is the least of the one in the kingdom than John, who was the greatest man ever born of women. Do you know who you are? Remember who you are.
Come on, one more time. Say it to your neighbor. Remember who you are.
That divine seed, being born again, salvation unlocks the door to a new reality of divine resource. Salvation unlocks the door to us to the power of God. Why do you think Paul prayed? I want you to know. I want you to know, Malachi. I want you to know the exceeding greatness of God's power that works in you who believe. In fact, it's the same power, Talon, that raised Christ from the dead. That same power that raised him up is in you right now. Come on, just pause. Say, the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead is in me. Oh. And he wants us to know the exceeding greatness of that power to those who believe. And the more you believe the truth, the more you access these divine benefits that are present for you now. Guys, I'm not talking stuff out there. This is something we need to lay hold of. It will change your life. It will change how you live. It changes how you pray. It changes how you pray. It changes how you can lay hold of the things of God. Because, man, do you know you and I are literally meant to be the bridge releasing heavenly resource into the earth? You were anointed and called to bless the earth, to reveal the image and glory of God on the earth. Do you know that? You were called and created in Christ Jesus for good works to reveal his glory in the earth. You were meant to cause the kingdom to leaven everything. As it is in heaven, so be it on the earth. And it has to do with your assignment, your purpose, your call. Therefore, you have to know how to receive and lay hold of and participate with that power that's in you into the earth for effective service. Your ability to access that grace is directly hinged to your belief in the truth of who you are and who your God is. Because you can say, yeah, God, you can do it. But he's like, yeah, but I delegated authority to you in your realm of influence. What are you going to do in the field or garden I gave you? I put a man in the garden to work it, till it, cultivate it, and anointed you with grace and power to steward that thing. That means you and I have divine responsibility to take that knowledge of God and bear fruit that changes the world. Hallelujah! Man, y'all should be standing on your feet shouting if we saw this. This is good. So we have to not only believe this truth, accept this truth, align ourselves in our sense of identity, but then learn to exercise that knowledge with confidence and conviction in even how we pray, to ask. You know, sometimes in life we don't have because we don't ask. Do you know that? Sometimes we have not because we ask not. And often we don't ask because we don't think we're worthy to ask. We don't think it's your place to ask, when in fact God has invited you to ask, seek, and knock so that you can lay hold of divine resource that's on reserve for you to be distributed and delegated into your care that you could bless the earth and the world around you. You must ask. You know, two people in the same exact situation can benefit in totally different ways simply based off what they believe is possible. Because if you believe something is possible, you're more likely to make an ask rather than shrink back, insecure, intimidated, I don't belong here. Thinking that undermines your ability to live in the truth and walk where God's called you to walk. Are you hearing me? The Lord even said to Jesus and even to us, ask of me and I'll give you the nations as your inheritance. Ask of me. Woo! God, teach us to ask boldly. And when we ask boldly and specifically as we discern the will of God, it shall be done. That's why he says, if you let my word abide in you, you can ask for whatever you wish and it shall be done for you. Oh, guys, that's good news. That makes your life full of joy because you're like, I get to partner with God and ask so things are done. This is incredible. Agreement with God activates the power of God that's available. We have access through him. It's incredible. We cannot live this type of spirit-led life with self-limiting mindsets. You hear me? You cannot live a spirit-led life with a self-limiting mindset, with a self-sabotaging mindset. You know what I'm saying? We need awareness of who we are in Christ and who Christ is in us. You know, Deb shared something in Life Group that I thought was so powerful and just indicative of what we're talking about here. She was thanking the Lord for picking up all her pieces in life, you know? Going through process, going through stuff in life. She goes, thank you, Lord, for picking up all my pieces. And then the Lord rebuked her. Jesus, he's so good. Life-giving rebukes that impart wisdom and the wisdom of God. The lie was, thank you for taking my broken pieces and making them whole again. Sounded reverent, and God rebuked her and said something of such as, I didn't pick up all your broken pieces. I made you new. You're whole in me. And she realized the double-mindedness, the dichotomy in her thinking, which seems very natural, normal, human, sincere. Thank you, God, for healing me of all my broken places. Sounds normal, but there's a deeper truth God's trying to instill around a finished work in alignment with the fact of what Christ already did. Our words and our thinking need to align with the truth of the finished work of the cross, that we are whole. We are healed. We have been brought to fullness in him. The old is gone. The new has come. I've been born from above, and therefore I am above all. I'm not a beggar, I'm an heir. I'm an heir of God. Does it get any better? We're just not excited enough about it. We don't believe it enough. We just don't believe it enough. That's what I'm saying. We don't really believe it. And I'm saying by the Spirit, we need to say, man, I got to wrestle with this truth until I'm like flipping out and melting in hysteria and joy and tears of gratitude that I'm a son and daughter of God. I'm an heir of God. I'm a co-heir with Jesus Christ. Oh my God. It's amazing. And this has everything to do with our ability to live in rest. Our ability to live in the peace of God. Perfect peace at all times. Do you know that's God's portion for you? That's God's will for you and me? Perfect peace at all times. And that's directly related to our belief and our behavior in the places of prayer. What does the scripture tell us in Philippians 4? Many of you can quote it. What does God tell us in Philippians 4 and how to walk in peace and how to relate to him in prayer? He says, one, be anxious for nothing. Rejoice always. Again, I tell you to rejoice and do everything with prayer, supplication, making your request known to God with thanksgiving. And then the peace of God that passes understanding, guard your mind and your heart in Christ Jesus. Oh, and it goes on to say, so set your mind on what's noble, lovely, pure, praiseworthy, of good report. It goes on, it goes, if you do these things, the God of peace will be with you. Because the truth of the matter is, we pray in the knowledge that I'm known, I'm seen, I'm loved, he's gone before me, he's provided everything for me according to his riches in glory already. I'll lack no good thing. I pray and acknowledge him in the awareness that I have all. Not from fear, not from a place of slavery, but from the faith that says, I'm in him, he's in me. And it's going to be all good. Does that make sense? God's yoke is easy. His burden is light. Let me say it again. The way of Jesus, his yoke is easy. And his burden is light, and it's directly, our ability to experience that is directly hinged to what I'm talking about, guys. To come to him and to receive this. You know, even in seasons where you feel hard-pressed, as we've been talking about, when you feel like you're carrying the load of death itself, and even where life feels like despair, where it feels like hope is gone, our faith says and hope says that we trust in a God who can even raise the dead. Our faith says, I don't trust in how I feel. I trust in the Lord. I can hope and rest. This is the easy yoke. It's the assurance of the Lord of life who will bring us into a spacious place for his own name's sake. It's important to know. And it takes real humility to believe this. Humility is a life that's yielded to God. It's not about self-abasement. I'm going to bring this to a close. We got to understand, everything in the kingdom starts with your ability to receive. It takes humility. Remember, humans want to earn. Humans want to do something to get something. That striving and boasting of men must come to nothing. It starts with yielding to God. You know, and the person that's truly submitted to the lordship of Jesus under his hand, that person doesn't carry worry. Look at me. The Bible tells us to cast our cares upon the Lord. Come on, say, cast my cares upon the Lord.
Cast my cares upon the Lord.
Because he cares for you. And as you humble yourself under God's mighty hand, it says in due season, he will lift you up. But the person that has truly humbled themselves under God's hand and cast their cares on him, that person has no worry. That person is at peace. Someone that refuses to let go of their worry, angst, and distractions, it's pride. It's a form of pride because you're depending on your strength, your ability, your own systems of control to try to carry for something. And God's like, no, you need to entrust me with it. And know that I'm working to will and to do according to my good pleasure and purpose in your life. I see everything. I know what you need before you even ask. Before there's a word on your tongue, I know it. I care for you. I love you. You don't have to worry. And that's why we can't be weighed down with the cares or worries of this life. They will choke the seed of the kingdom and blind you from his loving care in your life. And the more we can yield to God and surrender, the more we will see the power of God operating in our weakness. The more we grasp for control, the less we have rest. And the less we see the power of God operating in our midst. Doesn't mean God can't act in spite of those things, because he's kind and he's good. He wants to persuade us of the truth here. But primarily, God works through your faith, your ability to surrender and believe him, to trust in Jesus. Some of you need to cast cares upon the Lord. You're still carrying heavy burdens. And God wants you to surrender heavy burdens today. Make sense? And the more we get a hold of this truth, of who our God is, who you are, what he's given us, the more it allows us to also see each other in the same way. The more you can begin to love each other with the love of Christ, see each other as new creatures, and have an unoffendable heart. You know, the person in Christ, blessed is the one who is not offended in him. If you are still being offended by much, there's still carnality operating in your life. The one who has died in Christ has ceased from sin and has entered into rest. We're able to love well, forgive easy. Do cover the multitude of offenses when we see with this eye of redemption, because we know I've been forgiven so much. I've been loved. God does not hold my history, my past, or my failings against me. He does not treat me as my sins deserve. He treats me according to his loving kindness and mercy. The more we let that really penetrate our hearts, think about how that should translate in our friendships, in our marriages. It changes the composition of a community yoked together in love. And where we are as a community now and where we're going necessitates this unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace that relates to each other out of the awareness of the gospel. That we can truly love each other with the love of Jesus Christ. Let's respond to the Lord. We need an identity upgrade. I'm telling you, when we step into this in our heart and we
begin to accept it for ourselves. Because there's real things that the heart has to exchange to believe this for you. Some of you can believe this for others, but you don't believe it for you. But the more we do, I'm telling you, it's going to change your life. It's going to change what happens around your life. The kingdom is an adventure, guys. There's so many beautiful surprises in life. And we're more apt to walk in them as we're yielding and expecting them as a life yielded to God. Let's just respond to Jesus and let him stir our hearts and ask for this revelation to lay hold of us. Truly. God, I pray that we would see as you've intended us to see. In the way that you said, unless we are born again, we cannot even see the kingdom. I pray for the awakening of the eyes, that birthright of prophetic vision, to see the Spirit of the Lord, the heart of God, the truth of your kingdom, your present reality. Lord, I thank you that you are here with us. Lord, you are great. Come on, just begin to worship him in your own voice or talk to him with your own voice for a moment. Let him into those places. Offer him those self-limiting beliefs, those sabotaging ways of thinking. Be renewed today in the knowledge and spirit of your mind. Take in the knowledge that you were loved, that you are precious in his sight. Lord, I pray and thank you for the word of God. That's like a seed that germinates within our spirit. And that your word has the power to produce everything you've intended. We rejoice in you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus, for what you have done. May the word of God sink deep within our conscience. May it spring to life, God. Renew us in our understanding. Bring us from glory into the next measure of glory, from faith into the next measure of faith. Even as Jesus grew in wisdom, may we here grow in the wisdom of God. May we be sons and daughters that learn to think and live by the thoughts of God, according to the will of God and plan of God. Lord, we yield our life to you. We cast our cares upon you. Come on, just release every care and burden to him for a moment. Just talk to your God. Unload heavy burdens. Relinquish them to your Lord. Let him work it out. He's the one willing and working in you to do and to desire according to his own good pleasure. We thank you, God, for the rest that's in you, God. Should those that have entered into your rest have ceased from their works, since all God's works have been finished before the creation of the world. I pray that we'd enter in to that sovereign working, that divine rest. Strip off the debris, the yokes, the burdens, the distractions that blind us. Oh, come on, pray. Oh, God, may your people not be weighed down by the cares of this life, as to be blinded or miss what you're doing, what you're saying, what you've done.